We're holding about the middle of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Unfortunately, it's a bit of a shorter block today. We'll see what we can do. Okay. So we went through all of the ins and outs of all the three methods of kedushin, kesef, shtar, and bia. Now on to the next part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said b'kesef, that if you're doing kedusha kesef, we have b'shamayim and b'dinner v'chula. The b'shamayim says the minimum you need is a dinner, and b'shul says the minimum you need is a prota. Which, as the Gemara will explain tomorrow, a dinner contains, I think, 192 protas. So b'shamayim is...
A dinner is 100.
No, I didn't say that. I never said that.
A mana is 100 dinar.
But a dinar, we're gonna see tomorrow. Most of it is by powers of two. We'll get there tomorrow. So Bishama is, well, usually Bishama are the ones who are more machmer. In this case, I mean, in one sense they're being more. In one sense, it's more of a chumra. The process comes out at the beginning of the sefer. I mean, in one sense, it's more of a chumra. You need a larger amount to be makadosh a woman. On the other hand, it comes out in a way more of a kula. That, you know, you need, if she was miscavished with less than that, then you don't have a kedushin. She can marry somebody else. Anyway. So, my time out of Bishama, what's Bishama's reason that they say a dinar? I'm going to say, Shekein Yishamach Pedas Alatma, because Bishama assumes a woman is makbid on herself, they ain't miscavished, it's plus a dinar. She's not going to allow herself to be miscavished with less than a dinar. It's a similar logic to what we said with previously about that a woman can't be, you can't declare a woman with chalipin, because it's possible to do that with less than a shavu prota, and she's not going to be machna herself less than a shavu prota. This Shammai says the same thing with a dinar. Amalei Abaye says to him, if you're going to tell me that it depends on what she'll accept, Elamayata, then consider it according to that logic. Then Binsei de Rabbi Yanai, what about, for example, consider the daughters of Rabbi Yanai? Rabbi Yanai, besides being one of the great early Amoraim, he was also very rich. The Gemara in Bava Basra, for example, tells us that he planted 400 vineyards. Now, okay, the Gemara says maybe they weren't full vineyards, maybe they were just the minimum size vineyard in Halacha, five vines, as was recently in Gimel Parakim of Rambam. Still, that's a respectable number. I guess from making wine or whatever it is. So his Jatakan and Afshayo, they are very machbid on themselves, on their covered. They will not be in a Scottish with less than a basket, Taukova means three kavim, of gold dinarim, a huge amount. Hachinami, so you're going to tell me by the same logic, that if she were to stick out her hand and take a zuz, which is the same as a dinar, from somebody else, Hachinami, will I have a kedushin? You're telling me it wouldn't be a kedushin? By the way, as far as Binsei de Rabbi Yanai, the Tosfos Rid gives a different view, so not Binsei de Rabbi Yanai, but Binsei de Yanai, as in Yanai HaMelech. The king, obviously, his daughters are going to be, you're not going to be makadosh them with a dinner. Well, so in other words, the point is that you're going to have, it's going to be variable depending on the person. Rashi and Tosfos disagree what exactly the point of the Gemara's question is. Is it that we're saying that, let's get to the answer and then we'll see how they explain it. So he says, Pashtiyad v'kibla le'tamina. You know what? If she taka sticks out her hands and is willing to accept a zuz, I'm not asking about that. Yes, it's true. Obviously, usually she would want to be in a Scottish with a taka with a dinery, but if she is voluntarily accepting a dinner and willing to be in a Scottish with that, okay, well, then obviously, yes. T'kamina d'kadshabalelya. What I'm talking about is if he was Makadish her at night, inami d'shabia shliach, or if she made a shliach. So, Rashi says, therefore, that means if you were Makadish her at night, she doesn't know what she received. She expects to, if Rashi learns, she would expect to receive a type of a dinner. Same thing if you're a Kaddish with a Shliach. She is not going to allow the Shliach to accept Kiddushin on her behalf, less than a type of a dinner.
Can you accept Kiddushin?
Why not? Nowadays, you often have, you do have the whole issue, you don't want to have a Subah signed on one day and the Chuppah take place the next day because of the issues involving that. But sometimes it happens for whatever reason. The chuppah takes place after nightfall, and the ksuba is also signed after nightfall. Fine, the kedushin is not at night. Big deal. So anyway, that's how Rashi learns. Tosfos argues that then you're still back to nasatad varecha l'shiurim. You're still back to that it's variable depending on the person. How can the Mishnah say as a blanket statement that Bishamai says a dinner is enough? So therefore, Tosfos learns the other way around. Actually, that. If If obviously, if she's willing to receive a zuz, one dinner, then fine. Then even if forget about a dinner, even a shava prota would be enough. If she's willing to accept the prota, fine. But what we're saying is, so if kitcha b'leilya or kitcha al yedei shliach, then the assumption is she wants at least a dinner. If she's being the scattered, Tosfos learns exactly the opposite from Rashi. If she's being the scattered in person, if you're actually giving her in person, and you offer her a dinner, she's not going to accept it. She's going to accept half of the dinner. Fine, that's her prerogative. But the default is a dinner, and therefore, if you were to give it to her at night, or through a shliach, where she doesn't know what she's receiving, then a dinner will be enough for her as well. And that's what Beis Shammai is saying, and that's what Beis Shammai is saying, that a dinner is enough. Rabbi Yosef, Amar, time out of Beis Shammai, because Rabbi Yehuda, Amar, Rabbi. Rabbi Yosef gives a second reason. No, the reason of Beis Shammai, not whether a woman is machfid on herself or not, it's because of what Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rabbi. Amar, Rabbi Yehuda, Amar, Rabbi. Kol kesef ha'olav atard of kesef suri. Any time that the Torah mentions a payment in of kesef, it means kesef suri. V'shal divreim, if something did abonon, it means kesef medina. We talked about kesef suri versus kesef medina in Ksuvus. Kesef suri is coinage of pure or more or less pure silver. It's named after the city of Tsur, Tyre, in back.
Silver mines?
I don't know if that's silver mines, but that's silver coinage. That are a high quality silver coinage.
Tsur in Lebanon.
Tsur in Lebanon, yeah. But in those days, it was, and as you can see from various places in Tanakh, and afterwards also, it was like the commercial center of the ancient world. It was like Hong Kong or something nowadays. So they had a very high quality silver coinage, more or less pure silver, and that's called Kesef Tsuri. So whenever the Torah talks about a payment of kesef, it means that kind of money. As opposed to in other places, in particular in other parts of Eretz Yisrael and in the rest of the Medina, they had a more debased coinage, like a coinage more suited to day-to-day use. They used the same denominations. They had the same denominations, a sela, a shekel, a dinar, etc., etc. But each one of them had much less silver content. It had one-eighth of the content was silver and seven-eighths was copper. So therefore, it comes out. In other words, that, for example, a dinner of kesef tsuri is worth eight times as much as a dinner of kesef medina.
Was it worth the amount of silver?
Well, it would be worth the one-eighth of the amount of silver. Yeah, yeah. And this comes up. We talked about ksubas. There's a machlokas tanoim in ksubas whether the ksuba is the raisa or the rabbanan. We have at the very end of ksubas. We have a chaman versus Reb Shimon Gamliel, whether the concept of the ksuba, or at least the 200 zuz for a besula, is the raisa or the rabbanan. That machlokas continues down in later times. The rishonim also argue over it. The Ramban and the various svardish rishonim all learn that the vif and others learn that the ksuba is the rabbanan, like the chaman. And therefore, they say that when you write nowadays that the ksuba consists for a ksuba of 200 zuz, they learn it's 200 zuz of kesef medina, which would be worth the equivalent of, 200 divided by 8? 25 zuz of kesef tsuri. Whereas that the Ashkenazi Shirashonim, the Rosh and so forth, all learned that it means that the halacha is like Reb Shimon Gamliel, it means kesef tsuri, and therefore, so it comes out, basically, it comes out that an Ashkenazi ksuba, if you just go with the defaults without adding anything extra, an Ashkenazi ksuba is worth eight times what a Sephardi ksuba is worth. Because an Ashkenazi one uses kesef tsuri, and a Sephardi one uses kesef medina, yeah. Okay. Anyway, returning to our Gemara over here, So Rashi points out like this. Then Rashi actually Rashi explains it over here, and he talks about further on the base the details about it. A pruta doesn't exist in the tsuri system because a pruta is a copper coin. The kesef tsuri system consists of silver coins.
Okay.
Therefore, it can't be a pruta. Once it's not a pruta, then we already upgrade it to a dinar. And Rashi talks about another base. Why don't we say there's a ma? There's a smaller silver coin, 1/6 of a dinar, called a ma. The Torah calls it a gera. Why don't we say we go to that? So we'll on Omer Beis, we'll get to that.
Standard coin was the dinar.
Well, basically that's what we're saying. It's not so that the two ways that Rashi discusses it, that again on Omer Beis he talks about it more. He talks about what how is Rebbein explained versus how he himself holds that is it that the dinar was the actual smallest coin in the tsuri system? There exists something called a ma, but it wasn't necessarily coined in that system. Or is it? It existed, but nevertheless, we're saying that once we have to do a pruta, then we have to do a dinar, which is the first important coin in that system. So we'll get to that thing. Gufa, getting back to that word, Amar of Yehuda, Amar Rav Asi, Kol Kesef Amar Tzor of Kesef Tzuri, Vishol Devrim Kesef and Dina. So now we're going to analyze that a little bit. And Rashi, by the way, takes care to point out that it's Gufa, that the Girsa is Gufa, that we're going to now analyze that. Eventually, we're going to get back to that on the face of it. Then what he's saying amounts to saying that I agree with Bishamai. But we're going to first discuss him, because otherwise, if we just go directly, then the Gemara should first be asking the question, how does he say according to Bishamai? The Gemara first asks the Kuala, who is this a general rule that any Kesef in the Torah is Kesef Tzuri? And therefore, in other words, when in our case over here, when Ticha Misdei Eferin, that we're learning Kesef, then it has to be Kesef Tzuri. But let's first go to some other examples. Well, that was different. That was Abba Meir Shepherd because of Oyver Lasericha. The Gemara tells us in Bava Metzia that Ephraim was greedy. He didn't just want ordinary shkolim, never mind Keset Tzuri. He wanted Kantarin. He wanted an even higher denomination where they're also called a shekel, but each one is worth 100 dinarim rather than normal 4 dinarim that are to a shekel. Yes. So Avram paid an exorbitant amount. Yeah. Anyway. So, Vahare Taina. What about the case of Taina? One person Taina to the other person, you owe me money, and we know the concept of Moedig Amit. So that's that if a person admits part of the claim, then he has to swear and based in. Now, there's a minimum, the Pasuk says, Ki yitin ishara eo kesef hakelim l'shmer. The Pasuk says if a person gives to another person money or kelim to watch over, and then later on the guy claims it was stolen. So that's one of the examples where you have to go to base and swear. And so there's three cases, minatoda, where a person has to swear. One is a case like this, a shomer who claims that the thing was stolen or what have you. The other one is moedim mitzvah, which you might actually learn from the psukim over there by a shomer as well. And the third one is where there's one aid against him. And we learn in a Mishnah in Shavuos that there's a minimum amount, there's a minimum size of the claim, and there has to be a minimum size of the claim, and there has to be a minimum size of the denial.
Claim?
To swear. Shavuos HaDayanim, this shvur that the Dayanim make a person swear, HaTayna Shteikes, if it has to be that the claim is at least 2 silver coins, and here by silver coins we mean ma'os, where ma is 1/6 of a dinar, the Hajar Shavuprota, and the admission that the other person admits, I do owe you part of it, has to be at least a prota. Actually, Rashi points out over here, the Gemara there in Shavuos actually mentions, that's the Mishnah, that's the words of the Mishnah. Within that, Rav and Shmuel argue what it means. Does it mean Reuven is claiming you owe me exactly 2 ma, and Shimon says all I owe you is a prota, so he's admitting to a prota, and he's denying 2 ma is minus 1 prota. Is that enough to make him swear? Or does it have to be that's how Rav learns, or Shmuel learns, it has to be the taina has to be at least 2 ma'os plus 1 pruta, and then the guy admits to the pruta, it has to be the total amount that he's denying any responsibility for is at least 2 ma. Anyway, 2 ma.
So Rav says 1
pruta. No, everybody agrees 2 ma and 1 pruta. The question is it, we know the amount he's admitting to has to be 1 pruta. Does the amount he's denying, the amount he's saying, I don't owe you, does it have to be 2 full ma, or can it be less than that, as long as the full claim was 2 ma? No, because it does make sense. I mean, let's put it in modern terms. Let's use modern denominations to make it easier. According to Rav, let's say a ma was the equivalent of a dollar and a prutta was the equivalent of a penny. According to Rav, it would mean, Reuven says you owe me $2, and Reuven says, no, I admit I owe you 1 cent, but I don't owe you the other $1.99. Shmuel would say, in that case, you don't have to swear because you're not denying 2 full dollars. It has to be Shimon is saying, you owe me $2.01. And Shimon says, no, I only owe you $2. I only owe you 1 cent. I deny that I owe you the other $2. Anyway, whatever. It's not really Negea Targumar over here, but Rashi just points out that detail. Anyway, so we see over there that it's Mois. We see over there it's Mois, which are 1/6 of 2 Mois, which is a Mois. 1/6 is 1/6 of dinner. When we say shtei keset, now what does the pasuk say? Ki yitnisharayu keset oitelim lishmer. We don't say over there that keset means 2 dinarim, or 1 dinar, or 2 dinarim. We say it means 2 ma'is. Well, so here's where Rashi explains that he says that his rebbeim explained that actually a ma'a did not exist in the Tzuri system. So therefore, the Gemara's question is that where are you getting two ma'as from? If you're telling me kol kesef in the Torah is kesef suri, then where are you getting a ma'a from b'chol? Rashi says for various reasons I don't really like that. Rashi learns rather, there may well have been a coin called ma'a, and that's what we're saying over here, a kind of shtei kesef means two ma'as. But the Gemara was telling us earlier that when you're upgrading for a prutah, you have to go to the more important coin, a dinar. But the question is, why? If we're saying kesef suri, and you're going to a dinner, then where are we getting a ma from? Where are we getting...
Prutas
are not made of silver, so that's it's a given.
And there's the prutah and suri.
There's no prutah and suri, right. I think everybody agrees to that, yeah.
So you don't show prutah, it's not something suri.
Because there's two different things. The shekinah has to be shtei kesef. The haidah, the fact that the haidah you swear on, the pasuk doesn't mention kesef in that connection. At the end of last week's parasha, the chitish ba'amisiv, the kodin, the subasyad, or the gazal, etc., it didn't say anything over there. It didn't say the word kesef over there. So therefore, anything that has a value, a prutha is the smallest amount that has a value.
Not in suri,
but it doesn't matter. When the Torah says kesef, which is talking about the taina, ki yitin isharei kesef akelim and v'nikra balabayis alavakim, that the owner of the thing comes, brings him to Beis Din, knew where's the pekodin I gave you, and the other guy denies it. There it says kesef. When it talks about what the guy is admitting versus what he's denying, it, at the end of Parshas Vayikra, doesn't use the word kesef over there. Therefore, it can be a purta.
The Torah doesn't respect it truly.
No, but that's what called kesef or amubat tzara, kesef suri.
Yeah. But that I'd like to know
suri, because suri, first of all, suri is part of Eretz Yisrael. Third is part of Eretz Yisrael. It's included in the boundaries. And nowadays, it's not in Israel. Nowadays, it's in Lebanon, but it's included. What?
Yeah, so.
When we talk about Akko as the border for Gittin, we were talking about the borders of Ovid Bavel, not the borders of Ovid Mitzrayim. Anyway.
Suri.
Besides which, also, their coins circulated all over the Middle East. So the Torah could be talking in that term, even though it was not a coinage from Eretz Yisrael proper. Okay, whatever. So anyway, so shtei kesef, so two mois, Rashi's own explanation is, since he says that there did exist such a thing as mois, then the point is, the Torah does not necessarily mean that, the Torah does not explicitly say how much the kesef has to be. It left it up to the Chachamim, and they determine that the minimum is two mois. Which, okay, the ma'a is the minimum size coin in the Suri system, fine, but again, where are you getting a dinner, and where are you getting a dinner? So Rashi himself explains the question is, the Gemara's question in this case is, where do you get two ma'as? One ma'a, I can understand, fine, kesef Suri, a ma'a exists in the Suri system. Why two? Or Rashi's Rebbeim explained that rather the question is, there's no ma'a in the Suri system. Rashi himself says a ma'a is kesef, but the question is, where did the Chachamim get two? Rashi's Rebbeim explained that the question is, where do you get ma'is in general? Ma'is did not exist as a coin unit in that system. It existed as a unit of value, but not there was never an actual coin in that system minted called a ma'. Tosfos has a long discussion. You can see there's an entire Tosfos here that takes up the entire Amud that discusses all the pros and cons of this, including what Rashi says. Rashi continues with a different theory, and the answer of the Gemara. Tosfos comes down on the side of Rashi's Rebbeim and explains why we have to accept their shita. And in particular, Tosfos says that in fact, yeah, there never was, at least not in the time of the Torah, a coin called a ma. There was a weight of that, and therefore the Torah tells us, for example, Esrim Gerah Shekel doesn't mean that a shekel consists of 20 smaller coins called Gerah, like you would say nowadays a dollar consists of 20 nickels. It meant it consists of 20 small weights that are called Gerahs, which later on were renamed ma. But up until later times, they didn't have an actual minted coin called a ma. Anyway. And so it's Hasim Dumyad Kalim. The reason why is because we say it has to be similar to the Kalim. Not Kalim Shnaim. Kalim means two, because it says Kalim is plural. Ah, Kesef Shnaim. Therefore, Kesef also has to be two coins. Uma Kesef Dabach Choshu. And because if the Pasuk puts them together, the Hekesh Kesef or Kalim. Uma Kesef Dabach Choshu. And let's continue. Just like the Kesef has to be something important, because kesef means silver, and since we said silver, it has to be suri money. Kalim dava choshev, the same thing. The kalim has to be choshev as well. which Rashi says, for example, there's an opinion in Shavuos over there, in this whole discussion about this. There's an opinion over there that, for example, suppose you have the maskid says, I was maskid two needles by you. You're only returning me one, where's the other? And the other guy denies it. The other guy says, you only were maskid one by me. There's an opinion over there that he would still have to swear, he's murdered and mixed us. And then there's an opinion that he doesn't. Because two needles, neither one is really worth very much. That's what, when we say over here, Ma'af Kalim, Dabach Hoshu, comes to tell us that, in fact, the Kalim that the person is admitting part to, is admitting part, denying part, have to be Choshuva ones. They have to have a certain, value. The Pashtus of two Mars. Anyway, then Rashi mentions, Rashi goes back to his Rebbeim's explanation that they actually had the gears to the other way around. Ma'af Kalim, Dabach Hoshu, just like Kalim, have to be something important. Af kesef davar chashuv, so also the money has to be a davar chashuv, and therefore ma is considered the minimum thing, which is a davar chashuv. So that's where we get ma, and because it's drumi to kalim, therefore two mars. Okay.
Davar chashuv because it contains the
davar chashuv because it's a silver coin.
Because
it's a silver coin. Yeah.
Okay. How many to a dinar?
There are six ma to the dinar.
Pure.
In kesef tzuri, yeah, they're pure silver.
Six ma.
Bari Meister, how about the Gemara says, okay, what about the case of redeeming Meister Sheni? The pasuk says you should tie up the money in your hand, again, meaning it has to be money, kesef suri, utnan, and we learn in a Mishnah in Meister Sheni, you have a case over there where a person is taking money, a person has a bunch of prutas that he's used for redeeming Maaser Sheni. At various times, he had small amounts of Maaser Sheni, he redeemed each one on a pruta. Now, eventually, he wants to combine all those prutas together into a larger coin, such as a dinar. So it's machlokas b'shamay b'tzilom, how much of the coins are you allowed to convert into silver to take to Yerushalayim? B'shamay says the whole thing, b'tzilom says only half, because you want to have some small change when you get there. Whatever, the point is, we see that you can redeem Maaser Sheni on copper coins, on machoshes, which is not part of the three system for sure. The answer is kesef. Not the point that's kosher, but the point is, how can you tell me kol kesef in the Torah is kesef suri when you see over there you're allowed to use a prota? The answer is kesef, ha kesef riba. Yes, but what it says, since the positive either the Rashi and Bechorus, where it talks about this also, explains that there's a few places in those sukkim where it uses the word kesef. So therefore, that's a ribui that besides for regular kesef, which is kesef tzuri, you can use any other kind of coinage as well, including all the way down to purpose. There's a different explanation. I think the Rashash over here says that what the Gemara means to say is that the hay of ha-kesef is the ribui. Whatever.
Kesef.
It could have said kesef instead of ha-kesef. So therefore, that's marga. And it's marga, including purpose. Next, Varei Hekdesh. What about redeeming Hekdesh? The pasuk says you give the money and the thing becomes yours, which actually, as we talked about before, is not a real pasuk in the Torah. The Gemara is paraphrasing a pasuk there from Parshas Bechukos, which mentions Kesef. The Gemara does this not really a pasuk is quoted throughout Shas in this context. It's always the same paraphrase of the full pasuk goes like something like the Yosaf Chamishis Kesef Erkachal of a Kamloi or something like that. So paraphrasing it, but not in a Kesef of Kamloi. But Amar Shmuel, Hekdesh Shava Manish Chilah Shava Prata Mechol. And yet Shmuel says that if you were to take something Hekdesh, even that's worth a money, that's worth 100 dinar, and you redeemed it for even something that's a Shava Prata Mechol, b'di'evet, it's redeemed. So you see that you can redeem Hekdesh using even Prutas, again, which are not part of the Tzuri system. The answer is awesome. Nami Kesef Kesef Yalef and Ice. Okay, but the same kind of thing. We do Xer Shava, since it mentions Kesef over there, we learn by Xer Shava from Maiser, just like by Maiser we established because of Kesef HaKesef Riba, that you can use copper coins too, so also by Hekdesh. Okay, there's a different gear set it mentions over here, not Kesef Kesef, because then you'd have to ask in that case, and where do we get the rule that all Kesef is Kesef Suri? I don't know, we should use the Xer Shava to say that all over Kesef means even Prutlis. No, rather, we learn by Xer Shava Kodesh Kodesh from Meiser. Kesef, so in these particular cases, it means even Prutlis, but not in the general case. How about Kedushin? Back to our subject. And the Gomer Kicha, Kicha Misteya. For him, we know, we made the Gzeder Shava, how we know that Kiyakach means Kedusha Kesef. It's not, and we learn in our Mishnah, it's the Lomer Pruta, Rav Shava Pruta. That the Shul is saying that a Pruta is enough. Name of Rav Asi, Yomach, the Bishamai. So you're telling me Rav Asi, when he says that whenever the Torah says Kesef, means Kesef Suri, therefore not Prutas, he'd be going according to Bishamai. We know that Bishamai, Bemachim, Beisil, ain't a Mishnah. We almost never pass him like Bishamai when they go against Bishil.
And the halacha is like
the halacha in almost all cases, except that there's only six cases in Shas where the halacha is like the Shammai. This isn't one of them. So what kind of rules are Rashi stating? Ela hi itmar hachi itmar. So no, rather what Rashi had said, he said as follows: Amar Yehuda, Amar Rashi, Kol Kesef Katzu HaAmar BaTorah. Let's change it a little bit. Any fixed amount of money that the Torah mentions that you have to pay means Kesef Tzuri. Any fixed amount that the Chachamim set is Kesef Medina. So here we're making a distinction. When it comes to Kedushin, it's not Kotsu. There's a minimum amount, a dinar according to the Shammai, but you can go more than that. You can go all the way up to a tithe with the dinar, like with Rabbanan's daughters. Same thing with being poured to Maisa Sheni, same thing with being poured to Hekdish. All those things, there's no fixed amount that you have to pay. It's however much the thing is worth or to you, or whatever. And the same thing with Moed of Mikdash. Again, there's a minimum amount that you're kosher in, two Moed, but it can be much more than that. It can be tens of thousands of dollars. So when the Torah says a fixed amount that you have to pay, that's Kesef Tzuri. They have questions. My Kamash Malon. In that case, if that's what Rav Asi is saying, then what's the Chiddush? Tanena, we learn in a Mishnah in Bechorus, Chomish Sloyim Shalben, the five Sloyim that you have to pay for Pidyon HaBen, Shloshim Shalev, the 30 Sloyim that you pay if your ox kills somebody's Eved Kanani. The Torah says a fixed knas of 30 shekel that you pay. Chamishim shal onus v'shal mafater, or the 50 shekel that an onus or mafater pays to the girl or to her father. Meir shal moti shemra, or the 100 that the husband of moti shemra, who claims that his wife was mazana during the erusin, pays.
Only that case.
What do you mean only that case?
The husband is.
That's the case of moti shemra. Hold on. The case of Moti Shemra is, we learned about an Exubus. We had a discussion about an Exubus. Yeah. The husband claims that his wife was Mizana during the Edomim, and therefore that then she ought to be Chayav Mitzah. If it turns out that he's lying, it turns out that it's Edom and Zomim, whatever, then he gets Malkus, and he pays a Knas, and he's never allowed to divorce her.
To exclude other cases of Moti Shemra?
No, that's when we say Moti Shemra, that's what we mean by Moti Shemra in this narrow sense. Yeah, there's a wider sense of Moti Shemra telling lies about people, but we're not talking about that. Anyway. Kulam b'shekel ha-kodesh b'mon ha-tzuri. All of them are paid out using the shekel ha-kodesh, using a mona of tzur, meaning the shekel ha-kodesh of which 25 of them make up a mona tzuri, as opposed to the regular shekel where 50 of them make up a mona tzuri. So what's the chiddush? What is Rav Asi telling us? We see from that Mishnah all of those are the are cases where the Torah tells us a fixed amount.
Why
does he have to tell us when he says kol kesef kotzev or amar b'torah kesef tzuri? We can see that from that Mishnah. All of these are the kesef kotzev. The answer is, and one of the Mefarshim points out, I mean, there's a couple of other examples that the Mishnah could have mentioned and didn't. Erchin, for example, when you say Erech Ploini Olai or Erech Asmi Olai or whatever, you have to pay in Kesef Tzuri as well. The thing is, there the Torah actually says explicitly they have to pay the Shekel HaKodesh. All these cases that I mentioned, Pidyon HaBen, the Tzuri for the Eved, and the Onus, it never says Shekel HaKodesh. So we need the Mishnah to tell us that. Anyway. The answer is Vishal Devrein, Kesef Medina, it's Juchalei, the Lord's man. You're right. Rav Asi does not have to be machadish anything about the Kesef Kotsu that it says in the Torah. That we know from the Mishnah in Bechorus. What he's taught, his chiddush is that when the Chachamim make up a fixed amount, so that has to be paid in a certain case, that is Kesef Medina. That we don't see in the Mishnah. Titania, for example, what we learn in the Braisa, Hatekea la Chaveira Noisim Leisela, that if somebody is Tekea, his friend, he has to pay him a seller. It actually says two possibilities what tekeya means. One is he yells in his ear, and the other one is he boxes his ear, he hits him or punches him or whatever in the ear. Anyway, this is one example, and in Bava Kamma it mentions a whole bunch of those, like a half a dozen of them or so, different minor things like that, which there's no real injury involved necessarily, but there's a lot of, well, maybe a little pain, but also a lot of humiliation in public. So the Chacham, that punching a person, kicking, whatever, various things, where the Chacham set a certain fixed amount that's meant to cover the bullshit for the average person. Yeah, if there ends up being sar or nezek or whatever, that'll have to be paid separately. But we're not getting into those. So, for example, person boxes in the other person's ears or yells in his ear, whatever. He pays him a sella. So that's a fixed amount. V'loy tema my sella arbazuzi. Don't think in that case that it means a sella of kefes tzuri. It means four zuzim. Ella my sella palgadazuzi. No, it means a half a zuzi, because again, kefes medina is 1/8 of kefes tzuri. So if in kefes tzuri a sella is worth four zuzis, then in kefes medina it's worth a half a zuzi. A half a zuz, a half a dinar of pure silver, that is. A half a zuz of kesef tzuri, right. Why? Davidi inshit, the cardinal power of the zuz is istira. Because people commonly call a half a zuz istira, which an istira is another word for a sella medina specifically. So therefore, when the Chachamim are saying a sella, they mean a sella medina. That's what Rav Asi wants to inform us. The point is, in other words, that Rav Asi's rule doesn't contradict this Hillel, because he's not talking about cases where you can do you have a floor but not a ceiling, like with Kedushin, where there's a minimum of Prota and a maximum however much you want. He's talking specifically about cases where there's an actual fixed amount, Midaraita versus Midrabanan. Next. So far we've had two reasons given why Beis Shammai says, why Beis Shammai is saying that you need at least a dinner for Kedushin. We had the first reason that the Gemara said because, that Reb Zera said because a woman is makbid to not be niskavish was less than a dinner. And then we had, and then we had Reb Yosef's reason based on this dinner of Reb Asi's, that whenever the Torah says kesef, it means kesef tzuri. Okay. Reb Shimon Lachashomer, third reason. Beis Shammai's reason where they get a dinner from is based on Chizkiyah's din. You have a pasuk that says by an omer hevriya, the hefta. The pasuk says that her master has to the hefta. The hefta literally means she's redeemed, but actually the hefta means he causes her to be redeemed. Right? He helps her out in being redeemed. What does that mean? Malamet shemagaras v'vidyonu v'yotze. It means that she can deduct from the amount from her original purchase price in order to be freed. So she was sold originally for 6 years. It was supposed to be for 6 years. She was sold, let's say, for six mana. So every year is worth one mana, let's say. So she's worked there 2 years. Two mana are gone. She has to pay four mana, and then she can go free. Now, what's that relevant over here? Yeah, I'm shlema b'yarvla dinner. So if you're gonna say that originally at least a dinner was paid for her Heiner de Magara of Oslad Prota, then okay, every year you can deduct until you reach down to a Prota. Eli Amit Yavla Prota, but if you were to say, suppose she was originally bought for only a Prota, the Prota mi Magara, how can you deduct from a Prota? There's no smaller denomination than that. And as the Gemara is going to continue, the Gemara is interrupting here in the middle, but we're going to continue soon, that Beis Shammai learns Kedushin from the case of the Pidyon of an Amar Hevriya. So therefore, if by an Amar Hevriya, the original sale has to be for no less than a dinar, then by Kedushin, as we'll see soon, also it has not. Kabachimer, they learn it from we'll see soon how they learn it, that the same thing, Kedushin, has to be done with at least a dinar. By the way, the Yerushalmi mentions an interesting idea about that. The idea of why dafka a dinar, why not say, for example, a ma? The theory behind it is because since she's ordinarily being sold for 6 years, a dinar consists of six ma. So that way, you can have that. You can have if she's sold for a dinar, at the very least that'll ever get down to with a ma, which is again still a silver coin. So it's still something that exists in that system of coinage. You might ask why the Dilma Hakatama Rahmana. Why? Maybe the Pasuk is not necessarily saying there's a certain minimum value that has to be paid for her. Maybe the Pasuk is saying, Hecha the Yarv Lodina to Gara and Filta. Okay, if the original purchase price was a dinner, then you keep on deducting year by year until, if necessary, you reach down to a Filta. But Hecha the Yarv Lodina to Gara Kwal. Fine, maybe all the Pasuk is saying is if you can't deduct, if originally she was originally sold for a Filta, then okay, there's nothing to deduct. There's no Hecha over there.
If you have to deduct,
you deduct. If you're able to deduct, you deduct. If you're not, then you don't. Yeah. The Gemara says, what is Sakadaita? No, you can't think that that's what the Pasuk means. Because Dumya Diyud, because we have to say that this din of the hefta, of the master helps her go free by deducting from the purchase price, has to be similar to yield, which actually the Pasuk mentions them back to back. In Rava Ene Adonai, she's bad in her master's eyes, he doesn't want to marry her, Ashaloya Oga, that he doesn't want to do yield with her, the hefta, and he has to help her, and he has to help her go free. So they're heckish, they're back to back. My yield, Afagav Viboy Miyad, Viboy Le Miyad, now it is true by yield that it's up to him. He can decide. When we learn later on in the parak, we're going to learn next week about the dinim of yield. It is up to the master to decide whether he wants to do yield, whether he wants to be miyayed her for himself or his son. But kol hechad lo matziri yayed lahavas vinis vini. But if yield is impossible, then it's not considered a valid sale to begin with. For example, Rashi mentions it briefly over here. The Gemara discusses it more later on your Daf Yotef, Tachos, that, for example, you can't sell a girl as an Amah Hivriya to her brother. The Gemara discusses over there. Because she can't marry him. She's an heir to him. So, and for that matter, his son can't marry her either, because his son, she'd be his aunt. You can't marry your aunt either. So when yield is not, so even though it's true that if you sell her to some third party, he can decide whether to do yield or not, but it has to be that yield is at least possible to do.
Can I have
a
work for you that someone
will
marry you?
Well, we're talking to work for you as an Amah Hivriya, yeah. It has to be somebody who you would be, now, if it's an Israelav or some such thing, for example, you know, the I don't know, what would be an example, the girl is a Mamzeres, let's say, and you're a Yisrael, that's different. At least Kedushan
HaTayim. And the potential to be married.
Right. To either the master or his son. Well, it may turn out that she does. If neither of them is miyayed her, then if she hasn't been bought out by the 6 years, or there was no yield, you know, or whatever, then v'yatachim, then she goes free with simonim. But yeah. That's what when we learn the sugya about it, then next week we'll talk about it. So hachinami. So the same logic over here. Kol hechad lo matzi megara lo havas vinis vini. By the same logic, then, if deduction from the original purchase price is impossible, then it's not a sale. So therefore, you can't say, you wanted to say that maybe the positive is the same. If there's a deduction that can be made, then you do it, and if not, then not. No. Just like by yield, there has to be the potential of it. So here, there has to be the potential of it. If she was sold for a prut to begin with, then there's no possibility of deduction. There's no possibility of the hefka. But they're back to back in the positive. Ashaloya Oda. Yeah, Ashaloya Oda, the Hester. So there's a heckish between them. Just like Ashaloya Oda, there has to be the possibility of yield. So the Hester, there has to be the possibility of the Hester. Okay, so now continuing with the argument, the Kedusha Ishal, the Beshama Nafka Luma Amaravriya. Now, Beshama learns out the dinim of Kedusha Isha from the dinim of Amaravriya. Ma Amar Hivriya b'pruta le'miknia, just like an Amar Hivriya cannot be acquired for only a pruta. Apisha b'pruta le'mikantra, the same way a woman cannot be acquired in kedushin for less than a pruta. And then for a pruta.
Of course,
that's what Shammai is saying. Okay. Because it derives from Amar Hivriya. Okay, in that case, the question is, v'ema palga the dinner, v'ema shtei pruta. Fine, in that case, still, where are you getting a dinner from exactly? Say it could be a half a dinar, it could be which also you're able to deduct from it year by year and eventually reach down to a pruta. It could be two prutas. There's enough in it that you're able to deduct after 3 years that she's been there. You deduct one pruta from the purchase price.
3 years.
Okay, but still there is a possibility of girua. And just keep it up, pick them in pruta oikma dinar. Yes, but once we say that it can't be a pruta, then we upgrade it to a dinar, which is the smallest important coin.
Instead of two prutas.
Once logically we have to say it can't be a pruta because there's no girua possible. Then already what we do is both by the Amar Hivriya and by the regular kedushin, we upgrade it to the first important size coin, which is a dinar. Again, according to Rashi's Rebbe, it's not just the first important size coin; it's the first coin that exists in the Kesef Tzuri system at all. The money doesn't exist as a coin according to them. Yeah. Rava Amar, Rava says, you know, the fourth reason, time out of Bishamai, you don't want Jewish women to be like Hefker, that you can do, that you can be kind to them with so little. So Rashi says, therefore, this is Midrabanan. So, in other words, according to Rashi, Midaraisa Bishamai would agree that Kedushin with Prutta is valid. Midrabanan, we don't want that, so that Bnei Yisrael shouldn't be Hefker, and therefore they must pia the Kedushin, the famous concept of Afkos Kedushin that we've had a number of times. One second. Other Rishonim learn differently. Other Rishonim say that no, what the Gemara means is, what Rava is saying is, the Torah itself, according to Bishamai, it's Minat Torah that you need a dinner. What's the reason why the Torah says a dinner rather than anything else? Shalom, you Bnei Yisrael Hefker.
That's much more logical, because otherwise you would say, the way to Torah doesn't mind that the Bnei Yisrael should be Hefker, but the Rabban do, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it's not, I mean, this, you know, the same way as you have, for example. Let's put it this way, you know, I'll give you an analogy from a different area of Halacha, which I have it on my mind only because of Shlosha Parakim Abraham recently. You know, we say every morning, Elud Varim Shein Lam Shir HaPeah, right? Minas Torah, you can be Yosef, the Mitzvah HaPeah, by taking one stalk of wheat out of your field and leaving it for the Aniyim. Midrabanan, you need 1/60. Why? The pashtus, what happened is, the Torah may have said that you're going to have to leave one stalk. Practically speaking, people understood that you can't do the mitzvah properly that way. They were giving a decent amount until times changed and they weren't anymore. And then the Chachamim had to make it official that you need 1/60. Maybe the same kind of thing over here. The Torah might have said, according to Rashi, that prutah is enough, according to Mishamai. Practically speaking, people would have been mekadesh with more important things like that. Eventually, they develop a situation where some people figure we can get away with a prutta, and as it makes, like, the Bnei Yisrael like our Hefker, and therefore the Chachamim, according to Rashi's understanding of Bishamai, would have felt the need to step in and then make it that Hefker dinner. Maybe. As far as, by the way, I mean, we'll talk more tomorrow in the Gemara what the whole monetary system that they had in those days, but just to talk briefly about the value of a prutta. You know, you can talk about, we talked about this briefly the other day, I mean, you can talk about it in terms of the actual amount of silver that it contains. Of course, it's not a silver coin, it's a copper coin, but the equivalent value of silver, it comes out to a fairly small amount, but I'm says that it's half a barley grain's worth of silver, half a barley grain's volume of silver, which would be a very tiny amount of silver. I think the most I've ever seen at one point back, I think around 1980 or so, silver was trading for $50 an ounce. At that point, that amount of silver would have been worth about 10 cents. Nowadays, it's a lot less. The one way of looking at it is then that's the minimum amount, which is a prutta. The other way of looking at it, though, is that, well, there's two other ways of looking at it, basically. Moshe Feinstein writes in a couple of his shulchanos that it's not just there has to be It has to be the smallest coin that has some actual purchasing power. In his times, he wrote that was a nickel. You couldn't buy anything in a store in his times for less than a nickel. I saw somebody more recently who said a quarter by the same logic. You can't really, it's hard to find anything that you can buy in a store nowadays for less than a quarter. So according to that, then a prutta would be a quarter. Or you could look at it in terms of what you could actually buy for a prutta in those days. So I mentioned the other day, there's a Mishnah in Mehillah that mentions you could buy an etzrug, not an etzrug for sukkah, just a regular etzrug for eating for a prutta. You could buy pomegranate for a prutta. Or you could buy another example that it mentions over there is you could buy a lamp and a wick also for a prutta. So what would that be in modern terms then? In modern terms, that might make a prutta closer to now. Who uses lamps anymore? I mean, but a tea light, let's say, yeah. But that's a good example. I mean, what a bag of tea lights goes. A bag of 50 tea lights goes for what, $3 or $4 in the stores. So one tea light out of the 50 then would be about 10. Would be about 8 or 10 cents, I guess. But you know, another way of looking at it again, if you look at it about the fruit. An etrog, okay, nobody buys etrog except this time, and they cost a lot more. But a pomegranate, you could probably buy in the store for, I don't know, 50 cents, 75 cents or something. So in that case, it might be something like that. There's quite a few chuvas. I mentioned the other day the concept of frivolous kedushin when we were talking about that anybody who doesn't know the tip getting the kedushin should have nothing to do with them. And Tosafot said that includes speaking about anything having to do with kedushin with a woman, so you don't accidentally do kedushin without realizing. I was mentioning there's a number of trubas and a number of present day trubas that deal with that kind of thing, where boys and girls playing around after class or whatever, and then and one gives the other one an object and says Hareyat Mekudeshes for you, or even, you know, maybe doesn't say but implies it or whatever. One of the things they deal with in this connection is takta, how much is a prutta worth according to these various possibilities. I came across a reference. It depends who you ask, basically. I mean, I was reading an interesting discussion from about a tshuva from a rav in Milwaukee, where he was faced with a situation where a boy had given a girl, I think, a bottle cap or something. And he hadn't actually said how to act kedushously, but it seemed to be understood by those around that it was meant to be some form of kedushin, even as a joke. And one of the things he discusses in the tshuva is, does the bottle cap maybe have the value? There's also a discussion which we're going to get into in the Gemara tomorrow. Even if the thing is not worth a prutta here, is it maybe worth a prutta someplace else? A bottle cap maybe not be worth much in America, but if you take it to, you know, some third world country, you know, they could make some use of it. Right, these are the kinds of things.
And a soda is quite fine.
Well, that's also, yeah.
So a cap is much
as well. A cap of soda in America doesn't cost 5 cents.
No, it's when you give it back, you get 5 cents.
Okay. Anyway, so these are the kinds of things with frivolous kedushin like that between boys and girls that keep poskim up at night. Well, that's what we're going to talk about tomorrow. Yeah.